Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves. You're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry the Bahamas and USA.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM and Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Time to get to our 7-7 top headlines. So, last night, Baylor takes down the South region, securing a Final Four spot with an 81-72 win over Arkansas. Macy Oteague leads the Bears with 22 points. The Baylor Bears, Kev, still alive in your bracket and in many others.
Yes, they are. I'll tell you what, I didn't realize how beneficial it was going to be to pick Baylor to win it all, because I don't actually need Baylor to win it all. I just need them to get there, and then I can kind of work some magic and do some hedge work on the other side. Like, I've been looking through these bracket pools, like the Sports Grid bracket pools. There's a lot of people like, oh, I'm live here. Like, I'm doing good. You all picked Gonzaga. Like, you know, in a quick moment here, you're all about to be eliminated except for one of you. But I'm over here with the Baylor side feeling good about myself. So I'm pleased with that. We'll see. They got a game against Houston. But all in all, Baylor's playing some real good basketball. I think you made this point, Aaron, when they got past Villanova. You're like, that was the team that we thought could compete with Gonzaga. I think we saw them again against Arkansas. Yep. They're playing their best ball now at the right time.
And speaking of Houston, they shut down Oregon State last night, but the Beavers do cover, so bettors, of course, happy. We just talked about our hero of the night making that three-pointer at the end of the game, of course, Kalu. And I mentioned, we're going to remember this guy, because you remember people who cover the spread when you put money on it, even though, obviously, Houston got that win.
No, it's a good point. Maurice Kalu will be a hero for the Oregon State fans. You know, some would argue villain of the night, Maurice Kalu, if they backed Houston. But, you know, we like to keep it positive here. And all in all, Oregon State, if you backed them, you were a positive bettor. 14 of their last 15 games they covered. That is a tremendous run from Oregon State to close out their season.
Yeah, there was a moment in that game where I honestly turned it off and I flipped to this game, the Women's Elite Eight game. UConn, of course, taking down Baylor 69-67 to make the Huskies' 13th straight trip to the Final Four. I mean, this game was absolutely electric. Paige Beckers, I mean, she should have been the hero of the night, in my opinion. 28 points there for the Huskies, but that was a great game.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it wasn't one, though, without some controversy, which is always good. Drum up the excitement. Yeah. Was it a foul? Was it not? LeBron was on Twitter complaining, saying,
what do you think? Do you think it was a foul?
It looked like it was two defenders there. Like, one of the defenders had the hand on the ball. It looked like the other defender got arm late into the game. Ref typically is going to, like, pass it by and say, too tight for me to call. You know, I've been complaining about refs at the collegiate level, especially now, for a strong month. I don't know if I want to continue that run. Maybe we'll let them off the juice a little bit. But it doesn't take away from the accomplishment of UConn. 13 straight Final Fours. Domination for years and years and years.
Dominant.
Yeah, they just continue to get the job done.
Yes, they do. All right, let's switch it over to the NBA. Clippers roll the Bucks on their home court. 129-105. Giannis, 32 points. Not enough. Paul George was not in this one either, but best win so far this season for the Clippers. Mm-hmm. And just for them to get it done on their home court and beat them by that many points when the Bucks had rested their players in their last loss against the Knicks. I mean, we're going to talk about this more in the next couple of segments, but the Bucks just overall terrible loss for them.
Yeah, I can't disagree at all there, really. And for the Clippers, though, six straight wins now. They're starting to really round into form to win this game without Paul George. Give the Clippers some credit. You know, we all year long, Utah, then Phoenix, well, Lakers. Denver needs to win. What about Portland, Damian Lillard? The Clippers now playing their best ball of the season.
Yep, and we want to welcome in our radio audience right now. You're listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM Channel 204. Thanks for joining us. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan, talking about some top headlines right now. Let's stick in the NBA. So Steph Curry goes off in his return to the floor, 32 points, 5 boards, 6 assists, and a 116-102 win over the Chicago Bulls. Steph Curry was much needed for this Warriors team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely he was. I think, though, if you bring up the team that they played in the Chicago Bulls, there's got to be some frustration there for this team because they have now lost 4 straight games and both games in pretty ugly fashion since they made that move for Nikola Vucevic. It's not Vucevic's fault. Zach LaVine is all of a sudden playing terrible, but the Bulls are going to be wildly disappointed in themselves if they go out there, make that move, and then give up their spot inside the top 10. So the Bulls better start figuring it out. Great game from Steph, though.
Yeah. I mean, Zach LaVine, maybe he just forgot how to play basketball because another star kind of came onto the team and he needs to figure that out, trying to get that chemistry a little bit there. A little early morning trip for you. But let's switch it over to the NHL, go to the ice now. So the Sabres have dropped their 18th game again last night. I tweeted out early that I was done with the Flyers. I'm throwing in the towel. But the Flyers did come back. They won 4-3 against the Sabres in overtime. Obviously, the Sabres giving up a 3-goal lead there. But 18 straight losses. I mean, it is tough to be a Sabres fan.
Yeah, real tough. 6-23-5 on the year. Goodness me. These teams will do it again on Wednesday. Everybody's going to be betting the Flyers. I know I won't be betting the Sabres. I mean, goodness, 18 in a row. Wow.
I've been staying away from betting on the Flyers. Yeah, I've been staying away from it completely. They need to figure that their whole entire team out. Also, just quickly, the UFC McGregor Poirier to be finalized for UFC 264 on July 10th, according to sources. Nothing signed just yet, but all three parties very optimistic to get it done.
Yep, and also I'm optimistic about McGregor in a rematch. If anybody out there tells you that he was dominated in the fight, they didn't watch the fight, don't listen to him. He won the first round, and he won it convincingly.
Are you chirping me?
No, maybe.
Are you chirping your own host here?
A little
stay with you on the Early Line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host, Kevin Walsh. We're going to talk about some NBA and recap the games that were on the board last night. Favorites went 6-5 straight up, but underdogs led 6-5 against the spread with upsets by the Wizards, Pelicans, Pistons, Kings, and Clippers, plus the Timberwolves covered in a straight-up loss. Overs went 6-5, but let's break down this 11-game NBA slate. A lot to get to and a lot of great headlines. We'll start it off with the Clippers. They get their best win of the season with a 129-105 win over the Bucks. The biggest takeaway is Clippers held Milwaukee to 17 points in the second quarter. Marcus Morris, Kawhi Leonard, and Reggie Jackson also posted 20 points above that each. And what helped most is the Clippers shot 60% from the three-point line, 54% from the floor. The Bucks sat their squad to prepare for this game, Kevin. Why was that not enough?
Man, you know, the thing is, I thought the Clippers were a good spot. You hear the lack of confidence. I don't know what to do with Milwaukee. And it's driving me crazy. It is driving. Aaron has been over the Bucks for like years now.
I've been over the Bucks since the beginning. Two years now because they're so inconsistent when betting them, which we will talk about later in the segment. Go ahead, Kevin, take it. We don't need to talk about my frustrations.
They're warranted and they're shared because I want to make a case for the Bucks when we get to the postseason. I think they are actually good. I think that Giannis has been playing some real good ball. Just the absolute pride in your voice. I don't. I know you don't. I know you don't want to make a case for the Bucks. But like, they're now 3-1 to win the East because the Nets numbers are continually growing shorter, even though Durant doesn't play ever. But then they go out there, they go to the Staples Center, they rest everybody for this game, no Paul George. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got dominated. What else can you say? They lost the second quarter by 14, the third quarter they gave up 39 points, and then they lost the fourth quarter by 14. They got slaughtered in this game. I don't know what to do.
Three straight losses from Milwaukee after an 8-game win streak where you wanted to trick us and think that you were actually going to have this dominant second half and you wanted to start winning games so that you could go into the playoffs on a relatively decent record, because obviously in that first half of the season, Kevin and I kept talking about how they were losing more games, obviously, than the previous one altogether. Mm-hmm. But the Bucks are 3-8 against the spread in their last 11. So that is why I am frustrated as a better with this Milwaukee team. But I don't know what this team needs to gain confidence. Like, what is it that they're missing that they need?
You know what? The early line, we're done. I'm thinking this over. We are done with the Bucks. Budenholzer stinks, and until they get a new coach, the early line is done with the Bucks. We will be picking against them as a unit during the postseason because I already know that you were picking against. I can't with this team. There's talent there. Giannis has all the makings.
Talent. They have the 2-time MVP.
Yes,
they have
Chris
Middleton. They have Brooke Lopez, Drew Holiday, Devontae DiVincenzo. I mean, I don't understand. What more do you want?
Drew Holiday played well. I mean, how was Giannis a minus 31 in this game and scored 32 points? Like, it is beyond me for this team to go to the Staples. And then, it's great, though, because they're going to play the Lakers on Wednesday. They're going to beat them by, 25 points in Andre Drummond's debut.
Well, no LeBron and AD, so that makes sense.
But Giannis is going to be doing the stupid crown thing, and he's going to be like, oh, I'm so good, and Thanasis is going to be run. I love Thanasis, though. I don't care.
That's my biggest thing with athletes, though, and players in general, when they do that gloating after you just got dominated by one of the best teams, the Clippers. You should be so embarrassed. It's one thing when you sit your team and you lose to the Knicks. Everyone's like, okay, cool, chalk it up. Not a big deal. You guys just lost to potential title contenders by many points, and you were healthy.
Again, the early line, we're done with the Bucks.
We've moved on. Okay.
Yeah, I've been flirting with this
defending
idea.
Them.
I know I have. I need to move on. Budenholzer will not be enough, and he will not be a good enough coach to get this team where they belong. If I end up regretting those words, so be it. I'm going to take my co-host's advice. We're done with Milwaukee. The Clippers, though, the Clippers are for real. I've said all year, I think the title comes out of the
Six
Staples
straight
Center.
Games.
I truly believe that the champion comes out of the Staples Center. I think the Clippers absolutely can win the title this year.
I mean, 6 straight game. They moved to 8-2 against the spread since the All-Star break. They've been really heating up, and considering they didn't have Paul George in this, that's the one good thing about this. Obviously, we know Kawhi sits on a lot of back-to-backs, and they rest their players because they're more, I guess, preparing for the playoffs, which a lot of these teams are doing. You see it with the Nets, you see it with the Lakers as well, obviously, who are also riddled with injuries. But the Clippers, they're that squad that actually has played together during the regular season, so that chemistry might actually help them in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, the Clippers are actually playing together, and Kawhi has not sat out as many back-to-backs this year. And they've found, different pieces that can step up. Luke Kennard playing some real good basketball for this team. Terrence Mann, FSU alum, is actually starting to become a reliable piece off of the bench here. And look, Kawhi Leonard, 23-9-8. I think at times this season, we forgot a little bit about just who Kawhi is. 3 best players in the NBA in order: LeBron, Durant, Kawhi. Now, when the season's end, we can readjust those lists. We'll see where Jokic is and Giannis and Embiid. But coming into the year, you're going into a playoff series. Who do you want on your team? LeBron 1, Durant 2, Kawhi 3. And I think we've forgotten about Kawhi Leonard sometimes in that regard.
Gets shuffled throughout the mix a little bit there. But again, you make a great point. But let's continue with some of the recap top headlines because there's so many to get to. And right off the bat, I'm going to go over to the Wizards game. They beat the Pacers 134-124. But that's not the headline here. The headline is Russell Westbrook. I'm looking at the statue right now. 35 points, 14 boards, 21 assists. He comes out of the damn woodwork. He is showing us that he actually can play, because you know that we've always had the conversation when Bradley Beal is not in the game, which in this game he wasn't because he has a hip contusion. Is Russell Westbrook going to be able to step up? And last night, I mean, 21 assists. People were all tweeting like he's doing, you know, video games. Video game, what was it? Like stats or whatever. Numbers. I don't play video games, so I don't even know how to even term that. Video game numbers, there you go. Shows I'm the only girl, I'm the oldest almost. But yeah. That is the biggest takeaway from that game.
Yeah. Also, big takeaway, Aaron hates video games. That's an interesting development.
I know nothing about video games. I took a class at Penn State in video games, and I almost failed it because I didn't know how to play video games.
What kind of
thought it'd be an easy class.
That's some Penn State wildness there. Look, here's what I will say, though, okay? Russ put up one of the best performances that any player has on the season. 35, 21, and 14. I mean, are you absolutely kidding me here? What kind of nonsense is this? And he did it efficiently. 14 of 26 from the floor, 4 of 6 from beyond the arc, played 39 minutes. Like, he had a 40-point triple-double against Milwaukee in a close game. Beal didn't play, but he was somehow like a minus 18. I still don't know how that was possible. He was a plus 7. He was the best player on the court. They hung 132 in the Pacers. And here's something that's been quietly going on, is that this team now is the same amount of games back of the 10 spot as the Toronto Raptors are. You know, the Raptors that are supposed to make the playoffs because they kept all their players.
They're a nightmare.
The Wizards are now legit. Erin has no time for anybody today. She has no time for anybody
today. I don't.
Today.
I had no sleep, and I'm being brutally honest on this show this morning.
I'm not mad at it, though. I'm not mad at it. But look, the Wizards are, this version of Russell Westbrook, if Beal gets back and is healthy, this is what we talked about. It's why we talked about them at above 4-1 to make the playoffs in the East. We go single elimination with this version of Brody, and then you got the NBA's leading scorer. You're going to take your swings with that. You just are.
But we need that consistency from him, for sure. I mean, the Wizards all around. I mean, they're 2-5 against the spread. Their last 7 games played on one day's rest. The over obviously hitting this one. Same thing for the Pacers, dropped 2 games in their previous 6. But we just need that consistency from the Wizards. We need Beal to be healthy. But Russell Westbrook, he's not one of those players that I count on like a Jimmy Butler in the playoffs.
Which I think is fair. We've seen, you know, some playoff warts for him before, but single game elimination playoff, playing maybe a team like the Indiana Pacers, this has got to give them some real confidence.
Yes, it will. Stay with us here on the early line. Coming up next, we're going to continue to recap some NBA games.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the early line, Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host, Kevin Walsh. We are going to continue recapping some of the NBA games that happened last night and some top headlines here. The Heat were on a 6-game losing streak, and they were 0-6 against the spread during that span, but that losing streak has now been snapped with a 98-88 win over the New York Knicks. Heat cover as well as road favorites under 206 cashes, which is pretty insane when you see a total that low, and it still hits the under. Bam Adebayo, 20 points, 17 rebounds. Jimmy Butler, 27 points, 5 boards, 6 assists. Tyler Hero also stepping up with 18 points in that win.
Yeah, good to see Tyler Hero contribute. I thought Duncan Robinson played well, also knocking down 4 triples for Miami, the 2 guys that they were looking to settle right after some of the trade rumors. The Heat needed this win. They needed it big time. You can't lose 7 games in a row. And we talked about that spread. The Knicks were going to be an attractive option for people, catching almost 5 points in their own building to a Heat squad that was struggling. But Miami played with desperation. They figured it out big time in the third quarter, 39-21. And that was really all they needed to do. They scored more points in the third quarter than they scored in the first half, which is preposterous. I don't know how the Knicks keep playing these 1990s basketball games. But they do it. It's what makes them them. But all in all, Miami needed this one, and they got it.
Yeah, Miami definitely needed this win. I'm messing up my words here. Miami needed this win just as much as the Warriors needed the win over the Bulls. Steph Curry's back, and he showed that his team definitely needed him with a 116-102 win over the Bulls. Curry, 32 points. Andrew Wiggins added 21 points. But Golden State had lost four in a row, and they were 0-4 against the spread without Curry in those previous four games. Three of those losses by double digits. But what I want to talk about mainly is actually the Chicago Bulls. Nikola Vucevic, he had 21 points, 9 boards, 6 9 boards, but just overall, having him on the team, he needs to find, you know, that chemistry with everybody else. And Zach LaVine, he's now quiet all of a sudden with 12 points against this Warriors team. Do you think that maybe LaVine is having a little bit of issues having another star player, or do you think Nikola Vucevic is just taking the reins and going with it?
I think LaVine maybe is just hitting a dip in the season. You know, Zach's having a breakout year, but this isn't who he has been. So if he goes through a little bit of a slump, I guess that's understandable. Now, it's very concerning for the Bulls because they went in and they shoved. Mm-hmm. They need to make the play-in, okay? You can't trade for an all-star like Nikola Vucevic and then end up in the lottery. Or, well, I guess you'd end up in the lottery if you didn't win the play-in, but you have to at least play those play-in games. And LaVine right now, it's a lack of efficiency. 1 of 7 from beyond the arc and 14 and 4 of 16 overall from the floor. That is concerning. And also, they put up 60 points in the first half. You know, we were pretty fortunate yesterday to tell folks to look at the Bulls' first half team total, which would have been a winner if they played it. But they only managed to go out there and score 42 second half points. So right now, struggling to put together a complete game on the offensive end of the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, and I think a team that I can kind of equate to that would also be the Houston Rockets. So the Grizzlies beat them last night. They covered over hits. Memphis holds Houston to 19 points in that fourth quarter. Kelly Olynyk led the Rockets with 25 points, 9 boards. I want to talk about his impact on this team so far because I did read some support saying that he's actually the missing piece for Miami now.
Well, I think for Olynyk, he can go out there and provide something that can hopefully get the most out of some of these other players, right? A legitimate pick-and-pop threat that John Wall can play off of, Kevin Porter Jr. can play off of, and also gives Christian Wood that ability to run to the rim and have the kind of spacing to maximize him. So I think he'll have some legitimate value to Houston. Miami looking to replace him with Bolicia, though. I'm not sure we're going to look back on the Heat and think their downfall was getting rid of Kelly Olynyk. We're still waiting on the debut and eagerly awaiting on the debut of Victor Oladipo. I look forward to whenever that does come.
Yeah, hopefully sooner rather than later. I'm excited for that as well. Let's continue with the recap. Mavs Thunder. So the Mavs dominate them. They cover double-digit spread with a 127-106 win over the Thunder. I really thought the Thunder could potentially cover in this spot, but of course, being without their top three scorers, they just could not get it done. They moved to 8-14-1 against the spread at home. They've not been favored in a game since December 21st.
Oh, gosh, that is a long time. Probably one of the deals that, or not deals, but situations that we didn't talk about maybe enough when it happened. And it's more because of what it signifies. Again, we've been dealing with a lot of March Madness. But the Oklahoma City Thunder shutting Al Horford down with over 25 games left of regular season basketball is not a non-story about what this Thunder team is looking to achieve. And that's tanking. Now, yes, it's because they're looking to go out there and give some of the younger players a bit more of reps, sure. But we also had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander now is going to be out for a while with a foot injury. We might not see either one of those guys the rest of the season. There, it is very likely, I would even argue, that the Thunder are the worst team from now until the end of the season in the NBA.
Yeah, very unfortunate for them. And I just want to mention that Luka Doncic had not played in a game this season against OKC. He missed the last two, first with back soreness, then from a non-COVID-19 illness. He posted 25 points last night, which was great for him. Just want to also mention the overhead in this one. Despite OKC having the 6th lowest over percentage in the league, 9 of their last 9 games have gone under. So something just to keep in mind. But yeah, overall, OKC just tough end of the season for them already. Let's switch it over to the Timberwolves Nets. The Nets do not cover at home against the the Pacers after laying 10.5. We talked about this yesterday on the show, that this was a spot for them, that they were going to be vulnerable laying this many points at home just based on the trends. They now move to 11-13 against the spread this season when playing at home. Under Cassius, James Harden leading the way with a triple-double, 38 points, 11 boards, 13 assists.
Yeah, you know, Brooklyn got out in this game to a strong lead at one point, up by 17. They led by 12 at the end of the first quarter. But Anthony Edwards went to the line to try to convert an N1 that would have made this game 108-108. He missed the free throw. Minnesota didn't score in the final minute of this game. But they went out there. They competed. Karl-Anthony Towns looked awesome, 31-12-5. But the story remains the Nets. Even if they didn't cover, they are continually putting these results in the bag. And why is that relevant? The one seed in the East. I cannot stress this enough, but whoever has that one seed, I believe, should be favored to come out of the East because of how good these teams are at home and not having to play, even if the early line is now done with them, not having to play the Milwaukee Bucks in the second round. All in all, the Nets continuing to put results in the bag. And one of the moves that we didn't get to chat about yet, James Harden has actually now moved up, tied for the second choice in the MVP market, last I saw on the FanDuel Sportsbook. It should be Jokic's award at this point regardless, but a 38-point triple-double will not help will not hurt the case of the beard.
Yeah, in terms of the Eastern Conference standings right now, looking 76ers still holding that number one spot. Nets right behind them, and then the Bucks two games back. So everybody's trying to compete for that number one spot. But like you said, the Brooklyn Nets, they're getting those wins consistently to try to help them there. Let's switch it over to the Raptors-Pistons game. Not the most exciting one. The Pistons win and cover as 5.5-point dogs against Raptors, winning 118-104. But that's not the storyline here. The storyline is that Toronto has lost 12 of its last 14 games. League worst, 1-9 on the second half of a back-to-back. Kevin, it's time to throw in the towel with this team as well.
Yeah, look, here's the deal for the Raptors. They're 0-3 since the trade deadline. They were supposed to be the, oh, look, everybody's staying. Kyle Lowry's here. They're going to now make a legitimate push. They better count their lucky stars that the Chicago Bulls can't figure out how to play basketball right now for a full 48 minutes. Otherwise, this thing would get real ugly. But they are still two games back of that 10 spot. The Raptors are just not playing good basketball. You know, Kyle Lowry came out there, game worst, minus 23. Pascal Siakam had, you know, a bad game for what felt like the first time in a while. For the Toronto, we see this happen in the NBA at times. The deadline comes, a team makes a move, and everyone goes, oh, all right, they're clearly going to go out there and make the playoffs. And they don't. They disappoint. I remember when the Pelicans made a trade for DeMarcus Cousins, when they made that trade at the All-Star game, Boogie was like in the post-game All-Star game press conference. He was finding out. It was crazy. Everyone's like, oh, well, the Pelicans are clearly going to go out there and make the playoffs. And they didn't. Feels like a similar vibe for the Raptors. I'm not sure that this team actually goes out there and even can make the play-in game.
Yeah, no, I don't see that happening, especially with the way that they are playing right now. Continuing with the recap, another team that frustrates me, just like the Milwaukee Bucks, and I've talked about this before, is the Boston Celtics. So they're hit or miss. The Pelicans get it done last night, 2.5-point dogs, moving to 7-3 against the spread in their last nine games, winning 115-109 under hits in this one. Zion Williamson continues to just dominate, but for the Celtics, again, confusing me. Jason Tatum, 34 points, 9 boards. Kemba Walker, 23 points. Marcus Smart, 15 points. Why is this still not enough?
Yeah, so quickly, as far as Zion goes, he's a superstar. Okay, we'll enter next NBA season. He'll be an undeniable top 15 talent and possibly higher in the NBA. Point blank period. That is that. Okay? It'd be crazy if they could get themselves into the playoffs. It would be exciting, but I'm not sure if they'll be able to make up the ground. As far as Boston goes, here's the issue, I think, with Boston and their inconsistencies. We see it with the Bucks, but like the Bucks are like, yeah, they win 8 in a row and then lose 3 in a row. But we've all, you know, they're still, you know, significantly better than Boston. We've seen it happen with the Clippers at times. At least Miami has all of these injuries that you can point to. I know Jaylen Brown didn't play in this game, but Boston is starting to become a team that even I'm losing my patience on. I can't sit here and say, I'll just evaluate Boston in the postseason. They're the eighth seed right now in the Eastern Conference. The Celtics need to start playing significantly better soon. We'll be right back with more Early Line here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Thanks so much for joining this morning. If you are watching or if you're listening here on SiriusXM Channel 204, let's preview some of the four NBA games that are on the board today, Kev. Obviously, a lot less games than the 11 NBA slate that we had yesterday. Starting off with the Hornets-Wizards. So the Wizards, they're going to be on a back-to-back after a dominant win over the Pacers. Hornets, they've won three of their last four, with the most recent loss being to the Suns. So the looming question here for this game is, can Russ have back-to-back games with the numbers that he put up last night? Off the bat, to me, no, just because he had such a dominant performance. But he will need to step up again.
Yeah, he will, and that's assuming he's available. Russ is still someone that we always kind of have to wait and see as it pertains to playing on the second leg of a back-to-back. He has typically, though, been available for this squad. It's also going to be interesting to see, is Bradley Beal going to be back out there for the Wizards? So there's a lot of things up in the air, I would say, from an availability point of view, so I wouldn't just dismiss or I wouldn't just assume anything just yet. We do have a Wizards team that's performed well on the second leg, though, of a back-to-back of recent. They caught 13 points at home to Milwaukee, went out there and only lost that game by six. They played the second leg of a back-to-back at home against the Jazz and actually won outright. Second leg of a back-to-back in Boston, only lost by a point. So they've been really, really good in this spot. I'm not going to look to fade this Washington team just because it's the second leg of a back-to-back. I will, though, Aaron, look to be patient to ensure I have Westbrook and Beal available to me before I would back them on the side.
Yeah, and the Wizards right now are plus two on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So out of curiosity, if Beal and Westbrook do play, do you see this line flipping, or do you think the Hornets still should be favored in this spot?
I tend to think the Hornets are still going to be favored because, despite the LaMelo Ball absence, they're actually still putting good results forward. They have covered in all four games, and they've won three of the four. The only loss to the Phoenix Suns in overtime, which, by the way, we should acknowledge, it ended. It finally happened. The Suns won and didn't cover. How disappointing is that? Oh, my goodness. That is a tough, tough season.
I saw you tweeted that out.
Yeah, it's been a beautiful run. It's been a beautiful run, though. All in all, the Hornets have still continued to play some really good basketball despite the absence of LaMelo Ball. So I think you will likely still see the Hornets favored. This line, to me, kind of suggests probably Westbrook and Beal are in. But even if the game went to, say, a pick'em, because I was able to find out they're playing, I think I'd rather that than assume and all of a sudden be set there with Wizards plus two and the line closes at like five because they're both out.
Very good point there, yeah. And then looking at odds fire right now, I know this line is already early, but there is money coming in already, of course, because everyone loves to bet. 60% of the money on the spread in terms of Charlotte and 53% of the money on Charlotte on the money line, which is interesting. But the bets count for money line, just in terms of the Wizards, is 61%. So we're seeing split money there and in terms of the bets as well. So something just to keep in mind. Now, another game on the board tonight, we have the 76ers Nuggets. So 76ers still do not have Joel Embiid. They now face a tough road foe. I mean, the Denver Nuggets have been good lately. But the Sixers are 8-2 in their last 10 games. Aaron Gordon made his debut with 13 points in 21 minutes for the Denver Nuggets. So comfortable win over the Hawks with him in. What do you think for this one, Kev? Which way are you leaning?
Yeah, so I think you look at this Sixers team that has now been keeping themselves above water since losing Joel Embiid. And you go through it and you look at the opponents that they've had to play on this run. And they have covered in the non-Embiid games. Only twice they haven't covered. Once against the Knicks as home 7-point favorites. The Knicks have this ability to play them tight. And then the other was this most recent game against the Clippers in the Staples Center, where they were catching 5.5 points and they lost the game by 10. But you continue to go through the quality of opponent, and I give this team all the credit in the world, right? They played the Lakers without any of their real players. That game probably closer than it should have been. They played the Warriors, who didn't have Steph Curry. Multiple Knicks games here, a struggling Spurs squad, a Kings team that when they saw them, they didn't know left from right. The Bucks result was great, but not really, because they should have won the darn game and not lost it in overtime. I give the Sixers a world of credit for what they've been able to do without Joel Embiid. This, though, Aaron, feels like a step up in competition that could be a little too much for them, and that's typically been the case on the year. Outside of Philly, as a dog, they've struggled against the number 2-5. Mm-hmm. I think you lay this short price here with Denver.
Interesting. Yeah, I know Denver's third in offensive rebound percentage and Philly is seventh. So two of the best offensive rebounding teams in the league this season. So with that being said, obviously driving force for both offenses on a regular basis. Right now with a total of 221.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook, do you feel like this game could potentially go under?
It's tough. You look at that Nuggets first game, Aaron Gordon in the mix for them. The offense looked wonderful. They put up 126 points on the Atlanta Hawks. They carried a total of 221 in that game. Denver allowed only 102. You look at the Sixers, again, this non-Embiid run, only twice has the game gone over, right? Once against the Kings because they hung a buck 29 on Sacramento, who doesn't comprehend defense. And then this Clippers game most recently, because the Clippers were comfortably the most competent offense outside of Milwaukee. And I don't want to take away the Milwaukee game. It's one of the best performances that they've had all year, but they'll still be disappointed that they let that W turn into an L. But the Clippers hung 122 on them, and with how good the Clippers are playing, I think Denver might get back to their over ways. They had lost that a little bit, but with Aaron Gordon and Jokic still playing as well as he is, I think Denver on the over feels like the way you would want to play this one.
Yeah, and right now, again, Denver laying 4.5 points on the FanDuel Sportsbook if you are looking online right now. Let's continue with some more preview. We have the Magic and the Clippers. Clippers, of course, on a back-to-back after a great win against the Bucks. So the question here is, will Kawhi Leonard be playing on this back-to-back? Right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Clippers laying 10.5, the longest odds on the board for tonight.
Yeah, I feel like this is probably a situation in which Kawhi's like, all right, cool, go ahead, Paul, your night. So this spread probably moves a little bit in the favor of Orlando. Orlando goes out there and trades away everybody. And they were getting 9.5 points against Portland. And they covered. They lost the game by 7. Well, then they were getting 7 points to the Lakers. And then they covered by 3. And something that we've talked about here is a valuable team in the betting market is a team that loses but covers. Because it feels like their numbers are less likely to have that adjustment. Because in the eye, it's like, they stink. They haven't won since they traded everybody away. We know they're terrible. Mm-hmm. And I think, despite the fact that during this six-game winning streak for the Clippers, they've covered in all six of those games, tonight, with the chance to possibly see this be a spot in which you only are sending out Paul George, I want to say back Orlando. My hesitancy is the two games where the Lakers, who have been missing a ton of players, obviously, and the Blazers, who didn't even have Damian Lillard in the game, and they still lost both. The Clippers could rout them. The Clippers could beat them by 20. If Kawhi and Paul George are in, it feels like they run them out of the building. So that's really the play for me here. If Kawhi and PG are in, I lay the number. If only one of them are in, I'd back away. If they're both out, I would take what is probably still going to be 7.5 or 8 points and hope that the Magic can keep it close.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if some people start betting on the Magic, kind of pulling that number down a little bit, just assuming, of course, that, you know, Paul George and Kawhi could potentially not play in this. But the Magic are 1-4 in their last five games with a win over the Suns. That was, of course, one of their most surprising wins. But last game for the Magic, Dwayne Bacon led the team with 26 points, 8 boards. So maybe now is the time to start betting on the player props for the Magic, just because they obviously are in rebuild mode. Yeah. So somebody's going to have to step up at some point and start getting those points on the board. So maybe something to look towards. Another game on the board tonight, we had the Hawks-Suns. So after a 3-1 road trip marked by nail biters, the Sun return home to face the Hawks. First game between the two of these seasons. The Hawks are 2-3 in their last five games. So they're simmering down as the Suns are starting to heat up.
I'm so distraught over the fact that they won and didn't cover. It's like I don't know what to do with myself, you know?
We're always waiting to like talk about this trend that continues, but we knew eventually they were going to have to drop it. Yeah. It's going to have to come to an end.
So here's the question you ask yourself, right? Is it going to happen again? Is it really going to happen again? Or are they due to just roll the Hawks here? You know, the Hawks found themselves in a step-up in competition playing Denver in Denver, and that was ugly. Lost that game by 24 points. The Suns on the season, 14-6 against the number as a home favorite. Been excellent. They've just been so good straight up and as a favorite on the season, the Phoenix Suns. This feels like a good spot to back Phoenix. It feels like this West Coast trip.
6.5.
I think this very well could be the last game for Atlanta on that West. They've been on the West Coast since the 20th. So this is now expanded well over a week.
Yeah, they've been out there for a long time.
Man, that is a lot. That is a week and a half of ball out there on the West. Yeah,
maybe
like
they'll
Phoenix.
Be tired from that West Coast trip.
Yeah,
and I honestly feel like anytime we see the lines with Phoenix, they're like 7 or 8.5. So I'm a little surprised it's 6.5.
Yeah, and I think
wouldn't
that
be surprised
number
if that gets bet up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I think that number will climb up. I think people will be clicking on Phoenix, and I don't blame them. They've been great as a home favorite, and I think Atlanta is going to be desperate. And I'll double check this right now, but this has to be Atlanta's last game of this West Coast trip. Otherwise, they might as well like change buildings and say we're not even going back. No, it's not. Jeez Louise. They got to go at San Antonio and at New Orleans. They're not going to be home until April 4th.
That's so tough. Well, we're going to have to fade them in these upcoming games because they've just eventually at some point you're going to be so exhausted from doing all of that travel. But the Hawks came out of the All-Star break. I mean, they were winning, they were covering, they were hot, obviously, under their new head coach. So they're just simmering down a little bit. I guess we expect that, granted that obviously they were on that win streak. They're now on this West Coast trip. So this does feel like a spot where the Suns, obviously, just based on their history of this year, covering straight up, of course, and playing well at home. It seems like a spot for them, but I also think we go back to this trend and they just dropped that last game where they won the game, but they didn't cover in it, which was the first time all season.
Yeah.
So you kind of get a little worried there. Is it going to happen again?
And if you look at this West Coast trip, so they're currently 2-3. The three losses, they blew a 20-point lead to the Clippers and somehow didn't cover a 6.5-point spread. Lost to the Kings outright, and the Nuggets rolled them. Their two victories, they beat the Lakers by 5 in the game LeBron got hurt in, and they beat the Warriors who didn't have Steph. So we look at this now at Phoenix.
Ooh.
It'll be then they're going to play the San Antonio Spurs in San Antonio, and it'll be the final game of this ridiculous trip. Second leg of a back-to-back against New Orleans. I feel like you're going to want to keep fading Atlanta, Aaron, here on this road trip. What a ridiculous trip. Man, I mean, this is a long, long trip.
Schedule gods were not in favor of the Hawks.
No, not one bit.
Not at all. Yeah, but we have four games, again, guys, that you can bet on the FanDuel Sportsbook. We have Hornets, Wizards, 76ers, Nuggets, Hawks, Suns, Magic, Clippers. Kev, out of all four of these games, what's the one you're most excited for to watch tonight? I'm assuming the 76ers.
No, it's honestly the Hornets and the Wizards game here because Charlotte is tied with the Knicks for that fourth spot in the East right now, playing great without LaMelo, and then the Wizards trying to get back in the mix.
For sure. All right, guys, so this year on the Early Line, we'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, Welcome back to the Early Line. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Now it's time for our segment called Set the Line. So I filled out a fast food bracket, and Kevin apparently has a bone to pick with me on a pick that I made of a number 2 seed versus a number 15 seed.
Yeah, look, here's the thing. We all know that Aaron loves dogs, right? But if McDonald's and Jimmy John's were sports teams, and you had to put a spread for this game, if I had to set the line, McDonald's is laying about 17.5 points. And yet somehow Aaron has Jimmy John's advancing past McDonald's. You need to answer for this. I don't understand how this is possible. You've told me now countless times you hate McDonald's. There's many of other issues with this bracket. Why do you hate McDonald's?
All right. Two reasons that I hate McDonald's. One, in Catholic school, we watched this documentary about how McDonald's changes the inside of your body. Always made me want to get queasy every time I looked at it. The last time I had McDonald's was in seventh grade, and I was going to a CYO basketball game, and I had a wrap. And that was the last time I had McDonald's. I've never felt that sick in my life. And a lot of people probably always think, all right, in college, in high school, did you have that as your like hangover meal or things of that nature? No, I would not put McDonald's in my body, hands down. I wouldn't even eat a fry. Like, I have not gone through a drive-thru. I have not gone there myself. It's the last thing I would want to put in my body. But overall, I don't really eat fast food. I had Chick-fil-A as my winner of the bracket. I would eat Chick-fil-A for the rest of my life. It would be my last meal, hands down. But I cannot get on this McDonald's bandwagon. So many people are tweeting at me, too, saying, how could you possibly have that as a number 2 seed go down to a number 15 seed like Jimmy John's?
No, look, you had a whole group. You all put Jimmy John's through. Fireable offense, possibly, I could argue. Also, you say you don't need a lot. How did In-N-Out make the final? I mean, what's the deal there? Explain to me how In-N-Out goes to the final. You haven't even ate In-N-Out.
So I've never had In-N-Out, and I've never had Popeyes, and they were facing off against each other. But everybody always posts In-N-Out burgers, so I was like, here we go. We're going to go with the West Coast. But I haven't had half of these things. So if you want to judge me based on this, just know I haven't eaten half of these
This was a one-team field. This was – I mean, Chick-fil-A was playing against itself. You I mean, this is
– Yeah, Chick-fil-A. I mean, I think Chipotle was thrown in there. I had Chipotle going up. Five Guys. I got food poisoning from Five Guys once. Whenever I have it again, disgusting. Swear to God, I did. We'll see you tomorrow morning here on Early Line.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.